Each year, as many as 2 million young people in the United States become homeless, living on their own. An overwhelming number of them are forced from home because of violence, neglect, or rejection. Many age out of foster care with no place to call home. In Almost Home, helping kids move from homelessness to hope, Covenant House President Kevin Ryan and Tina Kelly, who shared in a Pulitzer Prize at the New York Times, tell the coming-of-age stories of 6 extraordinary children, now young adults, from across North America. Despite almost unimaginable suffering and adversity, these 6 exceeded almost everyone's expectations as they fought to make their dreams come true. Again, the name of the book, Almost Home, Helping Kids Move from Homelessness to Hope. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Tina Kelly to the roundtable this morning. Tina, thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
What brought you to this subject?
I had covered Kevin Ryan's work when he was the head of the foster care system in New Jersey, and I was a reporter at the New York Times. And we had a conversation in late 2009 where he spoke about his wishes of writing about the young people that he'd worked with at Covenant House. He became the Covenant House president and in 2009, but he'd seen kids from his first time working at Covenant House in the 90s go from dejected and abused and hopeless young people to years later fully thriving adults. And he wanted to describe those journeys from point A to point B.
When you look at these 6 stories that you tell in the book, what do you see the commonalities to be? I mean, obviously there's differences in the stories, but as far as that going from homelessness to hope, of what were the commonalities and the success?
What amazed me was how well they did once they were in the greenhouse conditions of Covenant House, where they had food and water and warm clothes and loving adults in their lives. And even young people who'd been through the worst circumstances could really begin to thrive under those conditions. It was an amazing period of growth for them. And we learned how just having one adult who believed in them 100% and would hold them to a higher standard really nurtured their resilience and helped them get ahead.
What do you think it is about that environment that is so necessary for these kids who, I mean, all their stories are different, but when you look at it, you can paint it with a brush and say they had a really, really, really tough time before they got there.
Right. Having someone show them that they believed in them was the key for most of the young people we spoke to. Many had been told all through their childhoods that they were worthless, they would never amount to anything, they were in the way, they were unwanted. But when they were treated with love, with the love that they deserved, they were able to thrive.
In that thriving, how do you measure that?
Being able to form loving relationships in their own lives, being able to find work that's meaningful to them, being able to give back. I think all of them did something in the course of our reporting that was very, very generous and caring of other, particularly homeless young people, in the same circumstances that they had been through. They didn't want to see other people go through the grief that they'd gone through, and most of them had gone on to help other people, which was a true sign of thriving.
What do you think it is about our culture and society that allows this incredible number, 1.6 million young people, to run away and to get kicked out of their homes?
You know, teenagers aren't that cuddly sometimes. They're not that visible as, cute young children. And also, you don't know when you're walking past a homeless young person. They keep themselves very well in most cases. They don't want to be seen as vulnerable because when they're vulnerable, they get exploited. And unfortunately, that leads to them being invisible. And when they're invisible, people are less likely to help them. So we were really wanting to give a voice and faces behind the figures when it comes to homeless young people with this book.
Realizing that you tell the stories of these 6 young people as they struggle to find home, stopping along the way at Covenant House, when you look at it as a whole, the original experience has to have an everlasting impact. And I don't want to say damage, but it has to have a long-term impact.
Right, right. And some of them will never necessarily be as thriving as they would have been if they'd been born into a loving two-parent home that could provide with them with the resources they needed. But several of them told me during the course of the reporting that they wouldn't have had it any other way, that they respect the person that they became, and they realize that they would not have been the person they became without those horrible circumstances in the first place. So they've come to a measure of peace about their bad circumstances from their childhoods, and they're, you know, facing the future now.
Two things that struck me in the stories, and just because you hear about this many times when talking about such a population, and one is of how many end up with some sort of addiction, of fighting an addiction, and how common that is in this population.
Mm-hmm. That's true. A lot of them turn to substances to, you know, assuage the depression and anxiety they have from being out on the street, and a lot of them also suffer from mental illness, particularly anxiety and depression, which I look at as kind of a rational response to being alone when and, you know, rejected when you're young.
I think there's one story in the book of Muriel, who was addicted at the age of 12. I mean, at such a young age.
Right. Right. She had been born with fetal alcohol syndrome and suffered a great deal of depression before she ever became homeless, before she ever became the victim of a trafficking ring.
You also tell the story of Benjamin, and you do hear this a lot of how he now works as a counselor to at-risk youth. And you find this many times where the people who have gone through this work to help this population and in many ways learn from their mistakes and learn from their trials and tribulations.
Right. Workers like that are very useful to young people who come in and need their help because they have a real credibility. People know by looking at Benjamin's hands that he's, you know, been through horrible circumstances, and so when he gives them advice on how to move forward, he has a lot of credibility. He actually said that those hands that his mother had burned when he was 18 months old were a blessing to him now in helping him do his work more effectively.
Ultimately, when it comes to both you and Kevin, who we mentioned is president of Covenant House, what do you hope people get out of the book and hearing these six stories?
Well, we have a whole chapter at the end that talks about what you can do if you are moved by these stories, how you can help reduce the number of youth who are thrown out onto the street. There's reforms needed in the foster care system. There's acts of kindness that can be done in local nonprofits that work with the homeless youth population. There's involvement you can do online by spreading the word through social media or writing letters to government officials. We wanted the book to be hopeful, and there are lots of ways that people can help. And we know how to solve a huge proportion of the problems that cause kids to be homeless. So we want people to think of the book as a hopeful book, even though the stories are tough, the end results are hopeful, and there's ways to jump in and help.
The name of the book, Almost Home, Helping Kids Move from Homelessness to Hope. Kevin Ryan and Tina Kelly are the authors. It is published by Wiley. Tina Kelly, thank you very much for spending time with us this morning. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me.
Best of luck in your efforts. Thank you so much. Again, the name of the book, Almost Home, published by Wiley. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.